Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast, truly one of the most unusual ever recorded, contains dribble, slang, and frank discussion of subject matter which under no circumstances should be heard by small children, persons with a heart condition, or anyone who is upset easily. If you are such a person, or if you're the parent of a very small child in the room, we urge you to switch off your streaming device now.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, Cam. How are you?
I am awesome. How are you?
I'm doing well. We've got an exciting Halloween special for everybody today.
Do you ever hear that? Dun, 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 dun. Remember in the old days when we didn't have cable and the word special and it would spiral in a rainbow and it was like on channel 245, you know, the basic channel. And it was like, doo, 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 and you'd get all excited because you knew it was so special.
That's what we have today.
Special.
Today, for all of our listeners, about a week ago, Cam and I interviewed Laura Powers.
Laura Powers.
She is just the sweetest. Now, you might have heard about her. She is a celebrity psychic. She's written 7 books.
Crazy.
Crazy. She's also a podcast host. She's been featured on BuzzFeed, NBC, ABC, CBS, all those alphabet letter, or all those alphabet channels.
All those networks.
Networks, yes.
Small name, but are huge. Yep.
All those alphabet networks and Fox. And recently, she was on iHeartRadio's Ron Burgundy Show.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Hilarious.
Fun. Fun guy.
So we're pretty excited about this. We hope you guys are too. It's a little bit of a stretch from what we usually do, but we wanted to try it out, see if you guys like it. If you do, let us know. We have plans in the future.
Lots of plans in the future, but we'll discuss that after you listen. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for joining us.
So happy to be here.
You're in Cannes?
Cannes. I'm in Cannes. Cannes, France, which is probably most famous for the Cannes Film Festival, which happens in May. And now I'm here for MIPCOM, which is a film and television conference and festival.
Wow, that's right. You're developing your own TV show. Is that correct?
That's something I am certainly working on. And then I host a film and television podcast, so I'm covering the conference and market for that.
Very cool. Let's start with why we're calling today. We're interviewing you. You are a celebrity psychic. Is that correct?
Yes. Right. Yes. I work with celebrities. I channel celebrities. I'm pretty well known myself.
How did you first know that you were psychic?
So ever since I was little, I've seen and sensed ghosts, very much like the kid in The Sixth Sense. In fact, I sometimes had a hard time telling, you know, when someone was a live person and when they were not. When I was a kid, I would do things like call the cops on a ghost and think someone was alive until they did something like walk through a door.
Oh,
no. So needless to say, it was pretty confusing for me growing up. I actually thought it was crazy because other people didn't see or sense and respond to what I was. And so I just kept it to myself for many, many years into adulthood.
Wow. That's amazing. Did that scare you as a kid? Or did you think maybe that you were different, or did you think everybody had that?
Oh, no, it was definitely scary. In fact, that's one reason why I'm so passionate about teaching and helping people understand this stuff, is I don't want people to have to go through what I did. But yeah, you know, it was a different time when I was growing up. It was, you know, before the internet, and information, I think, was a lot harder to come by, especially about stuff that's kind of like not mainstream. So yeah, I really felt alone. I like to help people understand that our minds, our lives, and our energy fields are very much like a garden. Just like when you get a patch of land, you know, the weeds show up automatically. So a lot of this dark stuff, ghosts, entities, and things like that show up, whether or not you invite them in, whether or not you sort of plant them in your garden, per se. And so that's what basically was happening for me. I just hadn't learned how to kind of weed that stuff out and bring in the positive stuff like plants and vegetables and flowers, et cetera, you know, metaphorically speaking, into my life. So the stuff that showed up was the dark. I didn't really know how to deal with it. And it wasn't until I was, you know, well into adulthood that I learned tools to learn how to manage it. And then that completely transformed my life. So yeah, I'm really passionate about helping people understand how to manage this for themselves as well.
So do you only teach or do you actually do readings?
I do both? Readings and clearings, yes, and I teach. And I teach in person. I travel around, do workshops and classes in various locations. And then I teach online as well, do a lot of one-on-one trainings for people, have trained a lot of other professional psychics as well. And then, of course, I have online courses, and I have 7 books and a couple more in process that are all about this world as well.
When you say clearings, what exactly does that mean?
So I get hired by people to clear spaces. So it's frequently residences, but sometimes it could be like an office or corporate environment as well. So if there's something going on, it could be, you know, that there's a earthbound spirit or ghost that's on the property. Sometimes that spirit is connected with the property. So I just did one recently where, you know, this home was being sold by the family, and the previous occupants had died, and one of the family members was still in the house, so to speak. Yeah. And, you know, someone had purchased the property and was renovating it and wanting to sell it, and this female spirit was not wanting the renovations to happen. There were a lot of delays in the processes. Things just weren't moving along very quickly because she didn't want things to change, right? She wanted things to remain as it was when she lived there.
It was her house.
Exactly. I mean, mm-hmm. and the thing is that ground spirits don't understand, like, once your body dies, you sort of lose your claim. Like, you're like no longer have the sort of license to own the space in that same way, but they still feel like they own it. So yeah, that can create some tension between the live, you know, people that are present there and then the former occupants who are there in spirit. So I help them cross over, and then I also clear out entities, and which are non-human energy beings. I think of them as like energy parasites in the space, as well as just clearing energy. So we're constantly releasing energy. So if something traumatic, for example, has happened in a space, you know, then it can leave a sort of energy imprint that can benefit from being cleared. So it's a combination of, you know, when there's been something intense that's happened at home, it may be some ghosts that aren't letting go, as well as just kind of like an energy cleaning. So if you think about, you know, let's say you were to, you wouldn't move in without physically cleaning. You know, you want to make sure everything was washed and mopped and swept and all that. And so what I come in and do is similar to that, but like on an energetic level.
So you don't just come in and like sage the place. You actually do more of
spiritual. Yeah. Absolutely. I do use sage. It's a good clearing tool. And there's a couple others that are good too in terms of physical things. So cedar is very good, Palo Santo. But what I'm primarily doing is actually kind of energetic and spiritual, working with angels, and then my own abilities to clear the space itself directly.
What about the angels? How do the angels help you? And are you talking about like your white winged haloed angels? Is that, I mean, that's what I think of when I think of angels.
Yeah. So angels are spiritual beings that are here to help us with our lives and our life's work. And most people tend to think of them as you describe, which is how they're frequently depicted, for example, in Christianity. Mm-hmm. And angels are not Christian. They are depicted in Judaism, in Islam, in Christianity. And angelic beings are described in cultures and religions all over the world, actually. But yeah, those types of angels. And they're, you know, here to help us, but they do offer free will. So they need to be invited in. So that was part of my sort of transition in terms of cultivating my sort of life garden, so to speak, was learning to invite the angels in, which are like positive presences in your garden. And they are very effective at helping clear out some of these darker energies and helping us have a more clear and positive space in our lives.
So if you have to invite the angels in, do people have to invite the evil in too, or do they just kind of make themselves at home and move in?
No, that's what I was saying. It's like the garden analogy. I don't use the term evil, but I say dark. But dark. You know, weeds, you don't plant weeds. You don't invite them in. It just shows up, right? They're just there.
Gotcha.
So that's what these kind of beings are like, ghosts, unhappy ghosts, and beings like entities. And then some of these heavier energies that, you know, you don't have to ask it to show up. And another way to look at it is like a nice person will wait to be invited over, and person doesn't care. They just break into your house and take your stuff or whatever.
The guest can't take a hint. You got to go.
Yeah. Or they don't need to be invited. They just show up. So Yeah. So it's important, I think, whatever is happening in your life, to understand that basic principle and to ask angels to help you. And if you're not comfortable asking angels, then certainly ask the universe, ask, you know, whatever belief system you believe in. But I really am a strong advocate for angels, because I've seen just how powerful they can be and how helpful they are in terms of making some of these bigger changes.
Now, I heard other psychics, they talk about their spirit guide. Are the angels your spirit guide? Is that kind of like the same thing or complete?
Yeah, there's many, many spirit guides. And I would say that an angel is a type of spirit guide, meaning they are, but they're a very particular type. They're very powerful. And we can have many different types of guides. We can have angels as guides. We can have, you know, loved ones that operate as spirit guides for us. We can have animal spirit guides. We can even have spirit guides that are beings from, you know, what we would consider other planets or extra dimensions, other dimensions that are parallel to us. So it's quite complex, actually. And most people have many, many different spirit guides. And your spirit guides can change over time, or some of them can anyway, based on whatever we're learning. So if you think about like a person as they learn and develop, you know, your counselors, your teachers, over the years are not going to be the same. You know, when you're in preschool, you have a teacher. And then when you're, you know, getting your PhD or whatever, you have a different spirit teacher and guide as well. It's the same kind of principle.
I like that idea. That makes me, I don't know. I like that idea.
We're always progressing.
Can everybody have the power to call an angel or a spirit guide? Or do you have to be psychic to do so?
No, everyone can. So the spiritual realm is all about energy and intention. So simply by thinking about it and asking for it through our thoughts, that has great power. I do recommend at some point saying it out loud and writing it down, because I think it gives it an extra level of power, kind of puts it into the physical as well. But even thinking it is still incredibly powerful. And with thoughts, the only caveat I would say to that is it's much easier to be kind of more general in our thoughts. So if you're asking for help through your thoughts, be very clear, use precise words and language, etc., so that it's clear what it is that you're asking for.
So if you just want money, you need to be clear that you actually want like $5 and not like, right? Is that what you're saying? Or
yeah, one thing I recommend if you're asking for a specific request is to say this or better or whatever is, you know, for my highest good or for my best. Because you know, maybe you're asking $5, you're like, okay, you could have had 5,000. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Kind of like in Aladdin, where he's like, just be really careful what you wish for.
Yes,
and be specific. Yeah,
exactly. And then the key is specificity and then patience, and then paying attention to any kind of nudges that you get from the spiritual realm, because oftentimes we are kind of guided or nudged to take action that helps answer our own prayer. So this information can come in through our own thoughts and feelings. It can come through things that other people are sharing with us. It can come through something we see or hear, repeated references to something. So basically, you put out the request and then just pay attention to what comes forward. I can give an example, if you like, that will help people.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
I used to work in politics and government. So I worked at the president's office of the University of Colorado for years. And then I moved to University of Washington and worked there. And that was when I was married to my ex-husband. And it was a contract position. Everything collapsed for me when the recession started and my contract position ended. And then there were just no jobs. Like, my contract position ended, no one was hiring. It was at the same time that I was having this kind of spiritual awakening, but that also ended up feeling kind of like a crisis in my life. And so I just had to do this total kind of start over. The work that I'd always done just basically dried up. There was nothing there for me. I went and lived briefly in China for a year and then was feeling like I needed to come back and kind of start this path. So I quite reluctantly started on as a psychic, you know, trying to make that my work. And, you know, my master's is in poli-sci, worked in government, worked in politics. That was really out of left field for me. It was nothing for me to build on from my previous life. So I was starting from scratch and I was doing it during the recession and it felt very overwhelming. So if anyone's, you know, starting your business being overwhelmed, just know it's possible. Even in the worst economy that's there, you can do it, you can be successful, things can happen. So, but I knew I needed a lot of help and I was asking the angels to help me a lot. And so one of the first things I did was ask the angels to help me with, you know, my business, with marketing, with PR, just getting the word out there. And shortly after I did that, I got the message intuitively to do readings at a local coffee shop. And I'll be honest, I really didn't want to do it. Like, I didn't like the idea of doing it in public. I was still a little nervous about being so out about, you know, my abilities. And so I resisted a little bit, but finally the just message was so strong. So I, you know, gave in, I put a flyer in the window of the coffee shop. And the first day that I was scheduled to do readings at the coffee shop, the managing editor of the local newspaper called and asked if he could write a story about me.
Oh, wow.
And it was out of the blue. I didn't send a press release. It was literally like this janky flyer that I created in Microsoft Word on my computer at home. Like, it doesn't look that great, you know? But my point is, like, it required very little and it didn't look professional and it didn't have a lot of resources. Yeah, but it didn't, you know, the ultimate point is it didn't matter. Put it in the window. And, you know, of course, even though I was nervous, I said yes. And he came in and I did a reading for him and he saw me give a reading to someone else. And then 2 days later, it was in not only the local newspaper, but the regional newspaper for the whole Boulder County area. Mm-hmm. And I immediately got clients. And in fact, I still have one client that is from, that was, I think, 8 years ago that happened. And it got me started. So that's an example of, you know, paying attention to those little nudges, because the truth is I was guided to do readings at the coffee shop. It had nothing to do with actually doing readings at the coffee shop. In fact, I only did that for like about a month before I was like, oh, that wasn't the point. The point was to have the article, but I needed to do it in the coffee shop so that the editor of the paper would find me and then write the story about me.
Now, when you do your psychic readings, do you need an article from the person, like an article of clothing? Do you need to touch their hands? You just can get a vibe through the phone?
Yeah, so here's an interesting thing about psychics is that, in a way, people might think this is funny, but it's a lot like medical specialties. Mm-hmm. Think about all the doctors that are out there. There are so many types of doctors. There's dermatologists and people that work in similar field, radiology, and then there's gynecologists and podiatrists and surgeons and whatever. And within surgeons, there's even specific types of that. And I really feel like the psychic realm and people that specialize that are also very specialized and have different abilities. So in my case, I am clairvoyant, so I see, so I don't need to be in person. I can see wherever I am spiritually. I'm an empath, and interestingly, that also doesn't need to be in person. Like, I can feel energy if a person's across the world. So I have clients that I meet with on the phone and video, you know, all the time, all over. I have unusual hours, and I'm all over myself, so quite funny. I also have a little bit of what's called psychometry, which is where you can, you know, basically receive information from objects, but that's not the primary way that I operate. And since I'm so mobile, I really tend to focus more on whatever I'm receiving through images, through my feelings as an empath. And then also some claircognizance is where, you know, I just know something just comes into my mind. And I can't even tell you how I know it. So with psychics, there's so many different ways that it manifests. And even as a clairvoyant, even as someone who is a seer, basically, it's funny. One of the first things that a lot of people will ask me if they hear that I'm a psychic and they don't know me is they'll say, what does my aura look like? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't see auras, you know, and that's the thing. It's, you know, but there are psychics that do. So I think it's really just helpful to understand that there's so many different types of psychics. They operate in a lot of different ways and not assume how someone will or won't be able to work.
So if you ever see something and it's maybe sensitive issue or maybe it's kind of bad news, like, do you tell the person that or do you kind of try to soften the blow? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not very good at confrontation. So like, I like everything pink and rosy, you know?
When someone's coming to me, and by the way, I don't give unsolicited information. And that's for two reasons. One, I want to honor whatever a person is choosing, right? I think when it's important for someone to choose what they are receiving, and I'm not going to make that decision for them. Mm-hmm. So that's one aspect of it. And the other piece is that it takes a lot of energy to do what I do. So unless there's some kind of energy exchange and balance, you know, then I'm also not going to do it. So that's why payments and, you know, this is my profession is important. So most people that come to me, they are ready for and asking for that information. So when someone books a session, for example, I always check in with them to see, you know, what is their intention for the session. And then I do my best to get information that is in alignment with whatever they're looking for. Occasionally I'll get something that feels like from the guides that's really important for them to know, maybe not what they ask about, but even then I'll ask them, there's a message I'm receiving that's not related to what we're talking about. Are you okay with me answering that, sharing that? So again, leaving it up to them. And then that said, if someone is asking me, I will be honest. Most people, by the time they get to me, because I am a higher priced psychic, that, they really do want to know. I've only had a couple of examples where someone asked me and then they really didn't like the answer and they got frustrated. but that's pretty rare.
I would think by the time they come to you, they kind of, maybe in the back of their mind, they kind of already know it and they're just seeking reassurance maybe, or a little bit of guidance. So I think I agree with you. I think they probably, even if they don't like it at first, they kind of know it.
Yeah. So the one example I had where I will never forget this client, she booked a session and she told me at the beginning of the session, her main reason she had booked was because she wanted to know if her boyfriend was cheating. And then I tuned in and I got that he was, and I told her, and then she got really angry at me. And said, he wouldn't do that. I'm like, well, clearly you thought there was a possibility because you booked a session.
Right. You're the messenger. Yeah. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you've helped with criminal investigations, right? You've helped the police, or you've helped with police investigations?
So I've helped with cases, but not actually with law enforcement. It's actually something that I'm interested in. So I'm pleased to be on the show to talk about that. Mm-hmm. And I think there's things in process. I've been hired by family members for cases and provided information to the families directly. And I'm interested in working more with law enforcement. I sometimes will get information on cases, some of them that are, for example, public, and I simply haven't known what to do with it. Interestingly, at a podcasting conference, I met a woman who is about to start training for both law enforcement and psychics about how they can work for each other. So I'm really curious about that and would like to participate because, one of the things that happens to me is psychic, I'll get information. I'm like, okay, if I approach, whatever police department that's handling this, are they just going to think I'm loony cuckoo, or are they going to think I'm a suspect, or what? Mm-hmm. I haven't had any personal, contact to get that happening, but I think it's in process as well.
What have you worked on before? You don't obviously not say names, but what kind of cases?
Thefts, cases involving, deaths, or, whether it be murder or cases, that were ruled a suicide, but maybe there was some suspect in terms of whether that was actually the case or not. So yeah, it's been a variety of different types of cases.
Do your angels tell you these things, or how do you, I'm trying to get how you get the information. Like, do the angels kind of whisper it to you, or do you see it like a movie played in your head, or?
Yeah, it's kind of a combination of those things. So whenever I'm asking for information, I ask the angels and spirit guides to protect and make sure that whatever is coming through is from them or a light source, meaning there's sort of troublemaker spirits and entities and things that can plant faulty information. And I think that's one of the challenges with some psychics, maybe don't have the training, don't know how to protect the space, is they may be getting information from a variety of sources, not all of whom are trustworthy. So I do that. And then the information comes in a variety of different ways. What's interesting is that the information can come in differently at different times. So sometimes it's very visual. Sometimes I just know, like I just get the knowledge, just kind of like a download. Sometimes I feel things in my body. So it's really a combination of things. And then I just relay whatever it is that I'm sharing. So can I tell an example of one situation that involved I was hired by a client to, she asked me to look at a situation in which a car had been stolen. It was her daughter's car. And at this point, they didn't have any information. It just had, girl went out to the car, was gone. And first of all, got that I was fairly sure that the car was going to be returned. So it wasn't like completely gone. And then I saw an image, it's kind of like a little video playing out of a man. He looked fairly young. I was guessing Caucasian, but his face was kind of hidden. So I couldn't really see. He was wearing a dark hoodie and it was at night and his face was in shadow. So I couldn't fully see. And he got in the car and drove away. And that's all I was shown. What's interesting is that, so I passed that on. And then 2 weeks later, the car was found. And I love it when there are these like physical things that come up, because in the back seat was a dark gray hoodie. Ooh. And that was not, belonging to the owner of the car. So that's so funny to me, because I'm like, if you stole a car, why would you leave your hoodie there? There could be evidence on it. Like, it's just so bizarre, right? But still, on the other hand, I was like, wow, that's great because it just confirms what I got.
That's when you want to high five yourself and say, yes,
yeah,
I did
it. Just like, yeah, and thanks, guys. That was a good one.
Since it's Halloween, have you ever been really, truly scared of anything that has come to you?
Oh my gosh. I was terrified all the time growing up. So because I'm a clairvoyant and there are entities, again, entities are like energy or supernatural parasites that feed on and create fear, anger, stress, anxiety. If you have anxiety attacks, it's likely that you're being impacted by these beings. That said, if you're psychic, you are likely more plagued by these beings because you are easier to impact, you're easier to influence than a typical person. So because I didn't have the tools, I didn't yet know to call on angels, I didn't know how to have energetic or psychic boundaries, growing up, I was plagued by these kinds of things. And for example, at night when I would try to sleep, it was often like a reel of imagine like the worst parts of a horror movie all spliced together. Just really disturbing image after disturbing image after disturbing image. And the reason that that was being shown to me was to elicit fear. And then these beings like fed on it like parasites. So yeah, I was pretty freaked out constantly as a kid and, you know, and growing up into adolescence and adulthood until I learned the tools. And because I didn't have the tools growing up, I just tried to block it all out for years and years. And in essence, I stopped seeing and sensing, but I also blocked out my own intuition. And that led to a series of issues for me, including, you know, getting into a marriage that was very toxic, making life choices that really weren't aligned with me and my soul. I physically got sick. And right around the, you know, when the recession was happening, when I did that big 180 was when I was sort of coming to terms with that and realizing that I needed to see what was there so that I could address it and change it rather than trying to pretend that it all wasn't there.
So what advice do you give to people on this Halloween season that want to get out their Ouija boards?
I do not recommend Ouija boards unless you have a lot of training with putting in psychic and spiritual boundaries and protections, which most people don't. You know, it's just an open channel. Almost anything can come through. I have known people who ended up, you know, being plagued by spirits, you know, dark spirits, and even demons that have come through Ouija boards. So not to plant fear, but I really just don't recommend it. To me, the fact that it is marketed as a children's game is practically criminal because it's like, here, let's open a gateway to dark forces. Here, 7-year-olds, here's a toy for you.
Right.
I just don't think it's a good idea. Yeah.
Hey, we've seen Exorcist. We know.
Yeah. And if, you know, if you're messing with anything like that, first of all, I'd say probably just not a good idea. But at the very minimum, what I really recommend for you to do is ask for protection from especially Archangel Michael and the angels to protect you and the channel. And one of the other things I do is I work with paranormal investigators. So I definitely recommend if you're ever doing some kind of paranormal investigation event, then it's the same deal. Call in protection from Archangel Michael and ask when you leave that anything that is kind of attached to, you know, the situation be removed from you.
What about, you have another book out about all the, I want to say folklore, like vampires and stuff.
Oh yeah. Supernatural Survival Guide.
Yes. I couldn't think of the title offhand.
Yeah.
I was trying to find it real quick on Amazon.
Yeah, so that book actually started as I was asked to write an article around Halloween time about the supernatural. So I wrote an article highlighting, you know, different types of what we think of as the supernatural creatures that we sometimes associate with Halloween. And then I just really love the topic. So I basically fleshed that out and turned it into a book. And you can see the photo of me that was for the magazine photo shoot on the cover, which is kind of fun. But yeah, so there's many different types of beings. You know, of course, most people are familiar with the idea of a ghost. So we talk about there. I talk about angels, talk about fallen angels. I talk about vampires and werewolves and djinn or genie in Western terminology. And many other beings, fairies, zombies. And yeah, it's just a way to share information on all these different types of beings. And in the book, I share their different traits, what to do if you come across them, how to protect yourself, and how to know that they're around. And there are many of these beings I know a lot of people would like to think are fictional, and I'm here to tell you that they're not.
Like vampires aren't, no, vampires are,
yeah.
Do you mean the type that like suck your energy, or do they actually suck blood?
There are both types, and certainly there are people that think of themselves as vampires, and I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about, you know, what we think of as like supernatural vampires, and that, you know, they are around. And from my perspective as a psychic, I have seen and witnessed things that most humans probably would not believe, just because it's so kind of fantastical. But, you know, we tend to assume that if someone looks quote unquote human, that they are. And that is not my experience as a psychic. And as a psychic, I can read and feel energy fields. And there have been many, many times when I have looked at someone that looked human and felt their energy and was like, that is not human at all.
Ooh, that's scary. Mm.
I think it might feel that way if that's the perspective that you have. But I'd like to think, but I really love J.K. Rowling and the whole Harry Potter, Potterverse, because I feel like in a way it's like, if you're in the muggle world, then yeah, all that stuff's really scary. But if you're in the magical world, yeah, part of it's scary, but there's also a lot of really amazing, positive, magical aspects. So it's just a range, right? There's really light, cool aspects, and there's some kind of scary, intense parts. So it's all there in the supernatural realm.
Wow. What do you do when you come across something like that? Do you run the opposite way? I mean, it'd be a great dating skill to have to know.
Well, yeah, so I go into a lot of detail in the book itself. But is there a particular type of being that you want to know more about?
No, I thought the vampire thing was very interesting. I know now djinns are actually more powerful than what we give genies to be. Is that correct?
God, I mean, they are. When you think of Aladdin, you get a little bit of a sense of, you know, their power in terms of the genie in there and what he's shown to be able to do. But yeah, djinn are extremely powerful. They work a lot through illusion, but they can actually create physical matter. So there have been many times when I've been talking with someone, they're like, and then there so-and-so appeared. I'm like, that wasn't so-and-so. That was a djinn appearing as Jesus or whatever.
Right. Now, they wouldn't be, they're kind of evil, aren't they? Or dark, I should say. Are djinns dark, or they're relatively, I always took them as dark entities.
I would say they can be, just like, you know, humans are the same, to be honest. I think, unfortunately, with a lot of these beings, we tend to hear about the ones that are kind of nasty, because there's other ones that become infamous for us. But, you know, I would hate for humanity to be judged by, you know, Hitler or Pol Pot or something. I mean, we have quite a range in humanity as well. And I have found that most of these supernatural beings are the same as well.
Now, I grew up, my grandmother would always tell me about the fairies.
That
they were quite tricksters, and if you got into their little magic mushroom circle ring, that you would be transported into their world. Now, is that folklore? Was she feeding me just stories, or?
No, there's a lot of stories about fairies, and, you know, going into the lore and history of fairies, that I believe that actually fairies and humans used to share a lot more of the sort of earth plane. But because of various things that happened, the fairies kind of pulled back into their world more and more. And so I think of their plane as being kind of adjacent to ours, and they can come back and forth. And yes, they do have the ability to take humans into their plane when they want to. I think it's very rare. And just like some of the other beings I was talking about, fairies can be light or dark, although thankfully my experience with fairies tend to be on the lighter side, and you know, flower fairies and positive things that you might think of. But the ones that are light in the fairy realm really are protectors and love the natural realm. So they, you know, will protect the earth, plants and animals and such. And so if you are good for the environment and you're a good steward, they will often like you and work with you as well.
What's your favorite creature?
Oh my gosh. I don't know that I can say I have a favorite. I mean, I obviously love working with angels. They're amazing. Ghosts are fascinating to me. I mean, basically when you're talking about a ghost, you're just talking about a person whose body has died. So they're basically different types of people, right? So I think that's fascinating. And I've always had a special place in my heart for vampires and vampire lore. True Blood. Always loved the Interview with the Vampire series, even like Twilight.
Another thing that you talk about in one of your books is reincarnation. Tell us a little bit about that. Do you follow, is it the Hindu belief, or I always forget Hindu?
So both Hinduism and Buddhism talk about reincarnation quite a bit. And so I am, just to be clear, I am not, Hindu or Buddhist, but I do believe in a lot of what they believe, which is that we reincarnate over and over again, learning various sort of lessons and having just the human experience. And by the way, it's not just as humans, we could incarnate as a cockroach or a cat or, whatever, or a being from another planet. So it's really complex, and I don't think of it as a punitive thing. So it's not like, oh, I'm being punished for this decision that I made in a past life, but rather it's more about learning. So, okay, let's say you killed someone, and then you may be killed not as a punishment, but simply so that you understand why that's not a good way to operate.
So like people, when like Ted Bundy that came down and were reincarnated into Ted Bundy, and he wasn't, did he like pick that plight to learn, or was it just a chance that that's what he chose to do?
That's a good question. I haven't looked at him in particular, but I it's complicated. Sometimes these things are strange. It might seem maybe planned in advance. Sometimes people kind of go off track from their planned life and things happen. Sometimes it's simply a young soul that are doing some things that we perceive as very dark. Think about like a toddler, they just hit people and bite and, do some pretty steal things. They just don't know. They just haven't learned not to do that yet. So on a soul level, when people are learning, it's more dark frequently. It might be perceived as pretty intense with, killing and hurting and stealing and things like that. And then the other thing that can happen is that some of these entities, people might say demon for a certain terminology, can take over a person's body and sort of have a play date as well. And then, get that person to do some very dark things.
So the only thing to get them to get better would be to have an exorcist then come in and take the spirit out?
Exorcism is a rite performed by Catholic priests. And, potentially, I think each situation is probably pretty complex in terms of what would be helpful. But just to know that it may be a combination of soul that is learning some very important aspects, and then maybe a dark being that is feeding on and manipulating that person. And I do believe in possession. In fact, there's varying levels, and possession is the most extreme form, when another being is literally taking control of that person's kind of body and mind. But there's varying levels leading up to it. It doesn't kind of jump right into possession typically. And you can read about that in my book, Supernatural Survival Guide, as well.
Since you're psychic, you are more susceptible to these entities. Has somebody ever tried to take over your body?
Yeah. In fact, that's part of what was very frightening and challenging for me growing up. It wasn't just that I saw things, but literally I could be what's called a trance channel, which is when a spirit or being comes in and channels directly through my body. Now, I don't want to do that. I like to have my body for me, and I'm what's called a mental medium. So I relay whatever it is that I'm sensing to, the people that I'm working with through my words and language. But a trance medium is when another spirit comes in and basically uses that person's body to communicate. So I could do that, don't want to, but until I learned how to boundaries, I would have beings try to take over. So spirits or their beings are trying to get in. And thankfully, they were never successful, but there were many, many times where it was literally like a battle for the control of my body, which was exhausting and terrifying.
I bet.
Awesome. Yeah. But on the other hand, I think there's always a silver lining with everything. And the silver lining for me now is that I don't want to say fearless, but almost, because, you survive that and there's not much that's going to freak me out.
So does everybody have a psychic ability?
I would say yes. So that this ability psyches are like a lot of other things. There's a range of natural ability, mm-hmm. and then there's training, right? So unfortunately, in our society right now, we don't really have training unless you seek it out. Like, we don't have, like, when you're growing up as a kid, like, this is what I would love. I would love if, like, when you're learning the physical ABCs and all of that, that you were learning psychic ABCs, that you were learning, you know, energy boundaries, how different spiritual gifts manifest, learning, you know, how to use your tools, your intuition. So now I think we have a lot of people kind of flying blind without being able to understand their own abilities. So if you have really strong abilities and you've never practiced it, never learned how to access it, you still might not really be able to use it very much. So in my case, even though it provided some challenging aspects growing up, I'm actually very glad that mine are so strong. I couldn't ignore it. There's like no way that I could deny these things because they're so strong with me. So on the one hand, it made it challenging growing up, but now I, you know, even though we didn't have training and things like that when I was growing up, I still knew that something was going on. Whereas for a lot of people, they don't even know. It's amazing how many people I teach and they start out maybe just curious. They just want to get better at accessing their intuition. We start and I'm like, oh my gosh, you are so psychic, but you just never practiced. You've just never tried it. You've never had an opportunity to. So I think I'm guessing that for a lot of people listening, that's the case for them as well.
And where would you go to hone your skill?
So I teach, you know, classes, like I said, traveling in different places. I also do one-on-one training. And I think first thing is just to learn about different abilities. My book, Diary of a Psychic, I go over the different ways that psychic abilities can manifest. And there are some exercises that you can practice on your own, psychic exercises. You know, one really great way to tap in, even though a lot of people might not think of it, is guided meditation, is basically opening up that channel. So I have a guided meditation program, and there's you know, so many amazing meditation programs out there, apps and, you know, various things. Insight Timer is one that I like. So I really encourage meditation, asking your angels and spirit guides to start communicate with you and opening up your third eye and that channel. And then there's so many, you know, teachers out there, you know, all over the country and the world. So in terms of that, I just really recommend that you do your research, ask for referrals and recommendations, reviews, and also just follow your intuition about who to take classes from, because you are opening up your energy field and you want to make sure that they're a safe person to do that with.
Now, how can we pick a good psychic through just like a normal, everyday, you know, like a person that's trying to pose as a psychic? I'll tell you a little story. Did you ever see the movie Reality Bites?
Yo, yeah, absolutely.
And Winona Ryder would get lonely and call the psychic on the psychic. I did that in my 20s, right? And I remember
one
time I got a guy that he sounded pretty on the level. He told me, you know, I was going to marry this guy. He had something to do with airplanes, white collar, reddish hair. I married a guy from the Air Force who was a white collar worker, had reddish hair. He was normal. But then I got a hold of someone who I could tell they were doing the dishes. They were on the phone with me.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
I go, what is that noise? And they're like, oh, it's my spiritual fountain. And I'm like, no, it's not. I can hear forks dropping in your sink. So
that's funny.
Isn't it funny? Yeah, and I paid like 50, 60 bucks for that phone call. But anyway, how can you make sure you have the right one besides a poser? Is what I'm trying to ask. How do you know you have a good, honest to God psychic?
So I do recommend doing research. So, I mean, now in the age of the internet, it's different than during the Reality Bites era, because you can look up reviews, right? You can look on Yelp or Google reviews or whatever. So I do think that's a good thing to do. And not just look at the ratings, but see what people have to say. See, do these feel like legitimate people? Are they plants? You know, and just read them and see what people have to say. And then actual real life referrals. So talking with people that you know, have they been to someone? Do they recommend that person? What is their specialty? What is it like to work with them? You know, ask questions. If you are listening to a podcast or see an interview or something, and you get an intuitive hit about that, then follow that as well and honor that feeling. So those are all things I'd recommend. And I just want to also just give a mention that I do suggest being cautious about certain storefront psychics. I'm not going to say this about all storefront psychics, because I know there are storefront psychics that are legitimate, but I have had so many situations where I walked by a storefront psychic. And by that, I mean someone who has a physical location, you know, and they usually will have like the palm reader sign or, you know, aura readings or something, and just felt so bad. Like the energy felt so horrible. And several years ago, I was thinking of switching my credit card processor, and they got back to me, the company, and said, we can't actually switch to you because we don't cover psychics. And I asked why. I was just really curious. Said, you know, I'm a legitimate psychic, so you can read my reviews, et cetera, et cetera. And they said, well, actually, we just can't cover psychics because it has been shown that many psychics are a front for money laundering. And so a lot of these storefront psychics, you know, that's why you might see them. There's frequently not a lot of people coming in and out. It's just basically, you know, can be a cash-based business where they can launder money for the mob or, you know, whatever shady business that they're doing. So,
oh, yeah, there's one pretty close to us. I've never seen a car parked.
Yeah.
It's never, ever.
So. Right. And a lot of times these are in like very expensive real estate. So it just doesn't add up, right? Something's off. If it is a storefront, then again, do your research, check reviews, check with people you know, follow the feeling. Does it feel like a legitimate business and a legitimate psychic or not?
Sounds great. Camille, do you have any questions? You've
been awful quiet. No, I'm just taking it all in. And I was thinking, yeah, you know, the psychic, that racketeering thing, that's kind of ingenious, really, because it's, you know.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
You could always be in your off hours, right? Like if somebody came to bust them or whatever. And yeah. And it's mostly a cash business, I guess, with those kind of people. Yeah. So it's, yeah. Interesting. Yes.
So I think just basically checking in with your own intuition and then checking with resources, other people, you know, review sources, et cetera. If someone has a book or a website, you know, these are all things that can add to legitimacy as well.
Right. Well, do you have anything else you want to add, Laura?
Yeah, I just, you know, I think that this spiritual realm has so much to offer people. And so whether, I know you, since you guys are a true crime podcast, whether you're looking for additional information, you know, it could be a cold case or maybe where you're wanting to receive additional information about a case, or whether you're kind of opening your own self up spiritually, you want to understand more what's happening, whether you want to learn about your soul path or, you know, maybe what's going on in terms of a health issue or a loved one. You know, there's so much there for people. And I think we're really lucky to be living in a time when this is opening up for people. You know, it's more and more, I think, accepted. And people are more open to this. And I think that's great that we're living in these times when we can explore this without, you know, people thinking that we're evil and being burned as witches or whatever.
Exactly. They can't kill all of us.
Right.
So, Laura, if people wanted to reach you, what's your website? Like, give us all the details on how people could get in touch with you.
Sure. So my website for the psychic and spiritual work is healingpowers.net. And you can find information on the services page. If you are interested in working with me, you can just book directly on there and then contact me at bookings@laurapowers.net to schedule. You know, I frequently have openings kind of last minute, and sometimes depending on my schedule, it might take a little bit. It just depends on the time. And then you can also either find linked on my website or on Amazon, you can find all 7 of my books that are on various aspects of the spiritual realm. And then if you're curious about the types of stuff that we're talking about on this show, my podcast, Healing Powers Podcast, we talk about this stuff all the time, as well as health. And we talk about health because your kind of spiritual ability and openness, psychic abilities are very connected with your health. So I feel they go hand in hand. And then if you want to kind of be on social media, you can find me on Facebook at Healing Powers. And then I'm on Instagram at LauraPowers44. And 44, the number being an angel number, in case people wonder what that's about.
Ooh.
I was.
Yes. Yeah. So 44 is a sign from angels. And it's basically them saying hello. So if you see 44, 444, 4444, et cetera, it's just them being like, hey, I'm here. Say hi.
I'll never be able to look at the number 44 again. That's what I'm going to think every time. That's kind of
cool.
Yeah.
And you will be probably amazed how it'll just show up like over and over and over again.
You always hear like people that, I don't know, certain things that have happened to me too, but like a bird will keep showing up, or like a caterpillar, and it's like just unusual places, unusual times. I mean, there, sometimes it's just, it's too much to be just a coincidence. So I believe that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we get messages from all different ways that the universe is communicating with us. And by the way, I'm just going to say, you can ask for signs and messages from the universe. It's a conversation. So let's say you're asking for support and signs for direction. Just ask, protect the space, ask Michael to protect it, and then ask for signs and then see what comes forward. And you can be amazed how specific it'll be sometimes. It's pretty fun.
Ooh, I'm going to try that. I love it.
Do
we have to say Archangel Michael, or can we just say Michael?
You set the intention that it's the angel, but Archangel Michael is great because then it's really clear and specific, because there's a lot of spirits and stuff out there named Michael as well.
I would think so. There's a lot of people who have the name of Michael, so I would figure
Exactly.
Do you have time to like maybe give one of us a little reading real quick? Is that okay?
Sure. So let me just check in here. Feels like, Jen, if that's okay with you, it feels like for you. Okay, so I'll just check in. Jen, is there anything in particular you'd like to ask, or I can just open up the channel and see what they'd like to share with you?
Give me what you got.
Okay, so just as I mentioned before, I'm always asking Michael and the angels, Jen's angels and guides, and my angels and guides to watch over this space, make sure that whatever happens is for the highest good, and increase clairvoyance and psychic abilities. All right, so angels and guides, I'd love information to be helpful for Jen. Okay, well, they're sharing me that you are super psychic. You're actually extremely telepathic. And are you familiar with being telepathic and what that means?
I can read other people very well, or their thoughts, or
Being telepathic basically means that you receive information through your thoughts. Oh. And I would say a lot of people have this to varying degrees, but I'm getting with you, it's quite strong. So it's an amazing ability, but it's also really important to understand that you have it when you have it, because otherwise you will take ownership for thoughts and ideas that are not yours. So like right now we're talking, you know, and I can tell when you're talking, when I'm talking, et cetera. But with your thoughts, most people tend to take ownership. They tend to assume that all of their thoughts are coming from them, what they perceive as their thoughts. But the truth is actually quite different. It's kind of like the psychic conversation where there's all these participants. And it's important to understand that not all that is originating from you. And if you're telepathic, it's going to be very, very strong. So, Jen, for you, just to acknowledge and understand that just because something kind of feels or is perceived as a thought doesn't mean it's originating from you. So it could be thoughts or ideas you're getting from people in your circle, people you know, family members. They don't necessarily have to even be physically near you. Your angels and spirit guides, maybe there's an earthbound spirit or ghost, maybe there's an entity communicating. So all this information is coming in, and basically if it's not loving or positive, or it's something you don't want to engage with, then you don't need to take ownership of it. So if it's not loving or positive, and by the way, that's for yourself as well. So a lot of critical thoughts are not originating from ourselves either. Gotcha. So just ask Michael and the angels to clear that. And, you know, help you focus and feel, you know, more positive, loving thoughts and energy. And then, Jen, I'm also getting you're very clairvoyant, and that means seeing. So that can manifest in a lot of different ways. It can manifest in terms of seeing things in the physical reality, or most commonly can be experienced through seeing things through your third eye or your mind's eye, would be another way to say it. So I'm getting that you're very strong with this ability, but that your third eye in particular has been very shut down. So for me, you know,
third eye blind.
Yeah. I wouldn't say blind. I would say blocked.
Sunglasses.
Maybe like you have like a blindfold, or maybe there's a really, really strong filter. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But yeah, that basically, you know, very similar to me where you didn't know what to do. You know, you just kind of blocked it out. But again, it's the best thing is to learn how to manage what's there, clear out, and then you get really positive information too. It's kind of like, oh, I see scary stuff, I'm just going to blind myself. You know, I mean, that's not the best way to operate. It's more like, okay, let me navigate someplace where things are less, you know, intense, and, you know, be able to see all the beauty that's in the world as well. So those are a couple of things that are coming forward. I also see for you, Jen, that you have what are called energy cords. Are you familiar with energy cords?
No.
So energy cords are basically energetic connections between different people where energy will flow. They are not a positive type of thing. So you'll see this a lot when there's unhealthy kind of situations or relationships and maybe like one person taking energy from another person, and then there'll be a cord. So I don't know if you ever feel really drained by certain people or situations, but I'm getting there's cords, quite a few of them. And these things are very much like what I talked about with the sort of garden analogy with the sort of spiritual weeds. You know, they will usually just show up. We don't need to invite them to appear, but we have to learn how to say no to clear them out in order to clear them. So it's not a judgment on you at all, Jen, but simply saying like, oh, this is just like going on and you haven't learned to see it and learn how to shift it.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
I can see that for you too.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That kind of makes sense of my ADD too, with all the thoughts coming in my head.
So just basically just having that understanding that, you know, when those quote unquote thoughts come in, a lot of times they're not actually yours. And just a note about meditating, because I think it's largely misunderstood that a lot of times people think meditation is hard. And so like they stop doing it, it feels unpleasant. Mm-hmm. And I found that for meditation, it like took a while for it to feel good. Meaning like it felt unpleasant for a while. And thankfully I just kept doing it. And then it felt very peaceful. And I think a lot of it is just about expectations. It's kind of like going to the gym. Like, you know, hopefully you don't go to the gym and expect to like immediately have like this rock star bod and like, you know, like things that are really good. But the actual benefits of going to the gym are not actually for when you're at the gym. It's for the rest of the time, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like meditation is the same way. You learn to sort of clear your thoughts and, you know, have that practice. But it is a practice. So don't expect that if it doesn't feel easy or if it's kind of unpleasant when you're doing it, that it's not helpful.
Do I have any dead relatives wanting to give me any information or tell me where any money's hidden or anything like that?
No messages about money that I'm getting. Although I did want to share that Archangel Michael is one of your main guides. So you can definitely talk with him. He is encouraging you to open up your third eye, and that there's a lot for you there should you do that. And it's not just about doing that, but also learning how to manage your energy and your energy field. And if you do that, that there'll be a lot of positive shifts that happen for you. So you can ask for his help with doing that.
Okay. Well, I'll have you know that you are not the first person that tell me that I have abilities. You're probably the third one to tell me that. It wasn't the guy that was doing the dishes in the sink either.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, we get messages over and over again. I will say that if I'm giving you the message, it's probably pretty important on a big kind of big spiritual level, because I tend to work with those that are working at high levels as well. So I would say you're being called, and when we answer that call, you know, there's a lot of rewards too, even though it might seem challenging. And the biggest thing for people to have this ability is to work through that fear. But just like I was saying that a lot of your thoughts are not your thoughts, a lot of your feelings may not be yours as well, particularly if you're empathic. And so a lot of that fear that is elicited is sometimes not even originating from us. So I had a huge amount of fear about stepping in as a psychic and, you know, sort of coming out of the spiritual closet, so to speak, but it turned out that it was really great. And so that fear was not coming from me. And it also was not legitimate in terms of like, no, I haven't been persecuted or, you know, criticized or anything like that for being a psychic. It's actually been just the opposite. So if you feel fear or resistance to doing it, ask, or anything that you're being guided to do, ask the angels to clear out whatever isn't yours, and just maybe acknowledge the fact that some of what you're feeling isn't actually even yours to begin with.
Interesting.
I think my oldest daughter is an empath. I mean, everything, even the slightest thing or emotion impacts her deeply.
Yeah.
Doing the same thing with her, asking angels to clear that out, that will help too.
Yeah. And I get that for her doing, you know, guided meditations and or even just you walking through some things with her. I have a grounding and clearing meditation that's available on my website. If people want to email me, bookings@laurapowers.net, happy to share that. It is part of my 30-day meditation program, but can just send you that one complimentary. But just doing that, it just basically, it walks you through how to clear your energy field. Because if you're an empath, you can think of an empath as like a psychic sponge mm-hmm. that just takes in all this energy. You know, sponge doesn't have to think like, I'm going to absorb energy. It just does it. And then the sponge needs to be cleared out. And yeah. so the thing is, in our lives, we're taught to take care of our physical bodies. We like learn to, you know, take showers, brush our teeth, you know, hair, wash our face, etc. We do not learn how to clear our energy field. And this is important for everyone, but especially for someone who's empathic, because what happens is, you know, they just soak all that up and they don't clear it out. They just end up feeling kind of overloaded. And then empaths can get extremely overly sensitive because they already have so much that they've taken on. And then someone says or does something even tiny and they're just like, I can't handle this. It's just too much. You know, it's like the straw that broke the camel's back kind of thing. So yeah, learning to clear her energy field, I get, is going to be really, really impactful for you. And I have a lot of clients who are parents and they will, with their children, go through the grounding and clearing meditation before bed for, you know, for example, it's like right. a little ritual to just kind of get ready for sleep. And whether or not you're doing something like that, I definitely recommend asking the angels to protect you or your children while you're sleeping as well.
Yeah, she used to have the worst night terrors every night when she was little, and then she grew up out of that, and now she can barely watch any movie. She can't be around negative people for too long. She just totally breaks down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we need.
I can relate. Yeah.
Positive, super positive.
Mm-hmm. So, how old is she?
She's 13.
Oh, man. Yeah, for me, it depends on the person, because I think all little kids are fairly psychic, and then depending on how strong your like natural abilities are, mm-hmm. they may start to sort of fade if they're not maintained as you know, get older. But if it's a really strong and maybe life path purpose or something, it actually gets stronger. So for me, like it actually accelerated as I got into adolescence and then into high school and early adulthood. And mm-hmm. I'm getting that's what's happening with her too. Like it's yeah. definitely a big part of her path somehow to acknowledge this. And so it's really strong.
Yeah. My youngest one would see angels in her room, or what she would call as angels.
Aww, yeah.
And then she would always talk about it, her other mother, the last time she was here.
Fascinating. So. Yeah. A lot of kids mm-hmm. will, for example, be able to access past lives and memories and things like that. And you know, still recall it.
Well, she mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Can't remember anything anymore. And I never really wanted to push her too hard because I didn't want to thoughts in her head.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I know it can be a fine line.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, awesome. Well,
yeah.
Thank you so much, Laura.
You gave us so much to think about. This is way cool. Thank you.
You are welcome. And thank you for doing this podcast. I think helping people, connect and understand how these different realms work together is so powerful. And thank you for all that you do. And by the way, I'm getting that you both are actually very psychic. It just felt like there was more of a, I would say, kind of urgency to talk with you, Jen, for today.
I tell you, Neil and I, we've been best friends for 38 years now, I think.
Wow, that's
and,
so great.
We're actually more like sisters, and we definitely have some kind of connection. Always,
yeah.
From like the minute we've met, there's been something there.
Yeah, I get that you guys have been sisters in past lives as well as just kind of best friends and very close. So yeah, so this is like a reconnection for you in this life.
Awesome. That explains a lot.
One of us didn't kill the other one in a past life, did we?
Yeah, probably.
I think you guys have been close though. It's a generally speaking, a supportive connection that you guys have with each other through yeah. other lifetimes as well.
Oh, good.
Aw.
Mm-hmm.
All through life. Well, great. Yeah. I hope maybe I'll give you a. I'm going to intake all this, get it
yeah.
in my head, and then I might be giving you a little call.
So, I agree.
Awesome.
Very
great.
Cool.
Thanks, Laura Powers, for being on our show. We are so appreciative of it. We really hope you guys, our listeners, enjoyed this. It's a little bit different. It's a Halloween special. Happy Halloween!
Woohoo! Anyway, we are planning to have Laura back. This episode was kind of more about her skills, what she does, how she does it, her beliefs. But around Thanksgiving, Laura is going to come back, or our plans are for Laura to come back and help us maybe dig a little bit into some unsolved true crime mysteries.
I love it. I can't wait. This I know. It'll be exciting.
It'll be a lot of fun.
It will be.
So anyway, thanks again for listening. We hope you had a fantastic Halloween. It's the best day of the year.
And tomorrow's Friday. Woohoo!
Woohoo!
And on that note, remember, lock your doors.
And keep passing by those open windows.
Bye-bye.
Love ya. Happy Halloween!